Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually Tech, Episode 3 for the 24th of February, 2010. And yes, we're starting a little bit late for those who are watching live, but that's neither here nor there. My name is David McVeigh, and I am leading this off, I guess, co-hosting, leading.
It can't really be leading when there's only two of us. That doesn't sound quite right.
Well, I'm starting first. That means I'm leading.
Right? All right, fine. What are we, dancing now?
Anyway, all right, so I'm Dave McVeigh, and I'm joined in studio by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
Who slept in. I am the reason that the show is kicking off late. I had a sleepy geek. Nice. Well done. I was awoke by Dave's text at 5:02 going, hey, so how far are you away? Needless to say, I'm here.
Quick ride in the
car
later.
Coffee. This coffee is a dark shade of black for a reason, because it's trying to keep me awake so that I can survive the show.
You'll get through it. It's only an hour.
Yeah.
And we got some interesting stories in the world of tech this week. Now, for those who haven't listened to the show previously, this is the tech component of the Geek Actually podcast, expanded out, fleshed out, padded out, depending on which way you look at it, and split off into its own show. This week, we are actually dealing with the theme of privacy. We've had some issues come up this week, two major privacy issues, and it kind of made me, we were going to talk a little bit about mobile phones this week, but this was much more interesting, and we will come back to mobile phones because there has been announcements from Microsoft that are kind of interesting, but we'll come back to that on another show. When we actually have more information as well, which is kind of important. The most important thing to remember about this show is that it's accessible tech for the tech or non-tech out there. We try and make it as interesting as possible, even if you aren't normally involved in the tech world, but you know we are surrounded by it, so sometimes it helps understanding what's going on. Now, along with our usual news this week, we actually have some follow-up to last week's show. Which is kind of exciting, I actually think. And I'll lead this off. Josh has got some feedback that we're going to read as well. But I'll just read this off very quickly because this was on Slashdot today, and I thought this deserved to be read. Last week we talked all about Google and China, and we talked about the censorship and everything else. Well, it looks like Google has actually backed down a little bit, which is kind of depressing. It actually says in this Slashdot article dated the 23rd of February, it says, despite the show of plumage, Google.cn continues to operate filtered. It says Google and China have planned to restart talks and negotiations over Google operating unfiltered in China. We know where that's going to go.
Yeah.
And as far as the attacks are concerned, if you remember last week's show, we talked about the fact that Google had been hit by some serious hacking. Chinese foreign minister, now I'm going to massacre this name, I'm terrible with these names, Qin Gang, I think it is, has officially rejected the claim that the attacks were sanctioned by the Chinese government. He said, quote unquote, Google's statement from January 12th is groundless, and we are firmly opposed to it. China administers its internet according to law, and this position will not change. China prohibits hacking and will crack down on hacking according to law. Of course he's going to say that.
Of course he would.
And we also had, also in relation to last week's stories, we've got some feedback, Josh.
Yeah. This is from Ryland, who says, just responding to Geek Actually Tech Episode 2 to do with the internet censorship debacle. At the point that Dave rose about it being taken to the next election as a potential campaign promise, this will give us some breathing room before it gets implemented, but frankly, I cannot see the coalition not implementing a similar scheme if they do manage to win at the next election. While Labour Party has become progressively more and more right-lean over the years, the Libs and the Nash have always maintained that...
Sorry, the printing is very small.
Yeah, it's incredibly small. I'm really trying. With the typical insanely conservative viewpoint to the far right, I haven't been following the internet censorship debate as closely as some of the techies have been, but it seems that majority of the opposition is coming from the tech community, not the actual political opposition. I could be wrong about that. Dave, anything about that in
particular? Yeah, he raises some very interesting points there, I've got to say. The most interesting point that I think he raised, and I actually think he's a little bit off the mark. Really good email, though. Thanks a lot, and keep those emails coming in. But he actually says it gives us some breathing room until the election. I agree with that completely. But he actually does say that even if the Libs win, or for our American listeners, that's the Liberal Party, which is the Conservative Party, wins, they'll just adopt the censorship filter anyway, because that's where they stand. There is precedence in our system to say that if the Labour Party loses the election on the grounds of its campaign policy, which would be the internet censorship filter, then that sets a mandate that says that the Liberals can't just bring it in, because that's the election was lost on those grounds. We actually have that we've had that happen before when the GST was first proposed by Hewson's election campaign. He got his ass handed to him in that election, and basically the Liberals just dropped any mention of the GST. Even on Howard's first term, he actually went to the polls basically saying there will never, ever be a GST. Now, of course, he lied, because in his second term, he brought it in. But on that first campaign, that first election, he said, we will not be bringing in a GST, and he didn't. On the second one, we were all foolish enough to vote him in. Anyway, so I think if the Labour Party loses, but look, it's a rock and a hard place. And this is what I was talking to Josh about, because we want to send a message to Canberra. We want to send a message to the Labour Party saying we don't want this internet censorship filter, but we don't want to just make them lose an election, because then we get stuck with a Conservative government again.
Yeah.
So it's rock and a hard place. You know, it's a very hard issue. Look, if anybody else has got opinions on this, please send them in to us at geektech@geekactually.com, or send us a voicemail. I do have a voicemail number here. Where's the voicemail number? I always forget it. The voicemail number is...
See, he's smart enough, though, to put it in the show notes. I don't even do that.
Well, I do write it down, yes. It's 02, Sydney number, 02-8011-3167. Please, voice your opinions on this. The internet censorship filter is an issue that is not going away anytime soon. And everybody should have their voice open about it. All right, I love the fact that Sid Ogg in our chat room has actually said, China denying it being meddling? No. I love that. All right, keep the comments coming in. All right, let's move ourselves into news. You got to ask yourself a quick question, Josh. When is hacking not hacking?
Well, I think that it's not hacking when it's a 13-year-old that manages to access a folder but not a file using the school computers and thinks that they've somehow broken the system.
That's a good call.
That would be about my only.
Oh, how about this one? According to the Australian government, the Sydney government actually, Sydney Morning Herald reported that a new government website, which has not opened yet, right? It's still in development, has been continually hacked by journalists. Okay, and they were hammering at the door. Apparently, the website was accessed 3,727 times. Okay.
So, and these were not accessed, these were hacked.
Oh, no, it's getting better. Okay.
Okay.
The affected government minister in this situation said that this is akin, this is to quote him, this is akin to 3,727 attempts to pick the lock of a secure office and take highly confidential documents. Ready for the punchline?
I'm waiting.
How did they hack into this website? They typed in the address.
Yeah, that's just wow.
Wow, it's pretty good. Apparently the site wasn't public yet, but it was live. And so the Sydney Morning Herald and other reporters just typed in the URL and they went and read the site.
That's epic.
I think
really
it's fabulous.
Epic.
I think it's one of those. The minister who we were actually talking about here, by the way, is Transport Minister David Campbell. And the documents that are on this super secret site that is public is basically outlining the entire new public transport setup that they're trying to do.
Without passwording the front site or creating a false front page, they've basically made everything public and are now accusing people of hacking.
Look, I just want to point out,
Isn't that kind of like leaving the documents out in the middle of the street and then accusing people of stealing them?
I'm going to try and bring up on camera here. Let's see if I can make this work. I don't have it on the board, but this is a picture of the minister. And look how red-faced this man is. This is a man with high blood pressure problems. <Sorry. laughs> And I think if you're going to be on the web and you're going to try and, you know, create these sort of websites, maybe you better have an idea of how the web works. Before you start making accusations, and maybe you better start, like, you know, looking at the fact that your web designers put the goddamn page up before it was ready.
I think more importantly, he has to look at that blood pressure problem first.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah. All right. This is a big up you to Michael Atkinson. We like to harp on Michael Atkinson a lot, and this actually leads into our second story too, which we'll come back to. But this is a big up you to Michael Atkinson because apparently a new survey was conducted by Information Solutions, who were paid for by PopCap Games. So it's Information Solutions for PopCap Games. 5,000 people responded to the survey, and they actually found out that the average age of the social gamer, all right, so we're not talking about the hardcore gamer, a whole different thing, but the social gamer, the average age is 43 and female. Now, when we talk about social games, what are we actually talking about? We're actually talking about things like Farmville, Texas Hold'em Poker, Mafia Wars, Cafe World, various other social games. What's really interesting about these games is it actually says that women were much more active than men were in this situation. And in the U.S., 54% of social gamers are female and 46% male. In Britain, 58% and 42% respectively. 46% of the American social gamers were over 50.
Good Lord.
It goes on to say that if you actually take that 5,000 respondents and you do your math voodoo, where you basically figure out what population that equates to, that actually equates to about 100 million Americans.
Wow. So much for his only the gamers are responding.
That's right. So, but this is, once again, this is not really about the R rating. This is about social gaming. But it does actually say in the study, it says, while still in its infancy compared to traditional video game industry, which is your video game industry, the social games sector represents a huge opportunity to reach hundreds of millions of consumers who historically have not played video games. The other thing that I thought was very interesting in this study was that it actually said that 64% play at least once a day.
There you go.
So social gaming is taking over the world. And on that note, the ultimate social gaming platform has got to be, other than your Facebooks and all that sort of stuff, has got to be the Wii. And on Loaded, I came across Loaded is a video podcast that's put out by CNET Daily with Natalie Del Conte, our very good friend Natalie Del Conte, who's been on the Geek Actually show. She actually had this to say, and I've actually just lifted this clip, and please, Natalie, don't sue me for using the clip, but we do love you very much. And I thought I could talk about this game and how ludicrous this game is, or I could just let her tell, or we could just let her tell us. And so I thought we'd let her tell us. So let me just put the volume up on this clip and have a look at this.
Now here's a Wii game that requires some skill. Walk It Out is a game where you do just that. You walk. You just kind of meander around the in-game world, and the more you step, the richer you become. You can use the Wiimote and Nunchuck, or the Balance Board, or the Dance Dance Revolution controller. Riveting. I'd have liked to have been in the room when some genius came up with that idea. Here's the game. You walk.
Sarcastic much, Natalie?
Wow, like, I mean, even for a lovely girl like that, that still sounds epically evil. It's just so, yeah, that was pretty fucking stupid, guys.
Yeah, what the hell is that game? So you just walk.
You know what? It'll still sell. There's got to be enough people that will buy that game.
Oh, you know what? I bet it sells a million units. It'll be on the charts just next to Wii Fit and all the other things that come out for the Wii.
Yep.
But wow. Yeah, exactly. I think that's the word.
If that game hits the top 10 in Australia, I will officially hang up my gaming hat, and I will no longer do games.
Don't say that, man. I shave off my beard over one of these sort of challenges. All right, speaking of casual, I suppose it's kind of casual gaming. It's kind of casual computing. Apple has made a radical move in this last week. And why are we changing? There we are. We're changing cameras now. For some reason, the camera wasn't changing. All right. Apple is removing apps from the App Store. Now, there's been a couple...
Oh, yes. I've been reading up on this.
There's been a couple of theories about this. And but basically, what it says is that apps are being removed that have overt sexual content. Now, it actually wasn't that long ago that these apps started to actually come out. If you remember, a year ago, there was no 17-plus rating, yep. on the, and they never have any of this stuff. No. They introduced a 17-plus rating, and of course, these sort of apps started to come. Now, there's nothing overtly pornographic about any of these games. Let me just tell you, Apple doesn't put forward pornography. Mm. They're just a little bit risque, more or less. But according to the developer who actually created the stunning program, which I actually have on my iPhone, called Wobble iBoobs.
You're joking.
No, what it is, it's actually a very innocent program. All it is one of those programs where you select points, and when you shake your iPhone, it makes the picture wobble. So, of course, you can put it on their boob, but you can also put it on their jaw, their mouths, their eyes. It makes my son laugh. You put it on the eyes, they make bobble eyes, you know? But anyway, the point is that this program has been removed, and according to, and once again, the text is very small on this, but according to the statement from Apple to this developer, because he released the note, it says, your application, Wobble iBoobs Premium Uncensored Edition, contains content that we had originally believed to be suitable for distribution. However, we have recently received numerous complaints from our customers about this type of content and have changed our guidelines appropriately. We have decided to remove any overtly sexual content from the App Store, which includes your application.
Wow. Way to come out and do it, too, as well. It's like...
And according to this article on CNET, the continuation of this, 5,000 apps have now been removed. But here's the real kicker. They're talking about the fact that, let me re-quote that one more time, okay? Mm-hmm. The quote was, we have decided to remove any overtly sexual content from the App Store.
Right.
The Playboy app and the Be Like a Penthouse Girl app are still on the App Store. So in other words, what they're saying is, if you're overtly sexual but you're a big company, you can stay. But if you're a little company that is being overtly sexual, you have to go. Yeah, I have a real issue with this because this treads into censorship territory. Mm-hmm. And all I can say to this is, why is it okay that you can buy Call of Duty versus Zombies and put bullets through people's heads and have blood spray patterns, but we can't see some boobs wobble?
Because that's just wrong.
It's just wrong.
I don't know. I think it's hilarious. I mean, I love the fact that Apple has such a tight hold on this. Like, I mean, no other company in the world could do that.
No.
And get away with it.
Now, there is an interesting philosophy to this, though.
Yeah.
Now, where is it? By the way, the app removal process, according to this article that was on CNET, actually says that Mac Rumors, which is a very, really good site if you haven't been there, but reports that app removals are usually about 100 a day, right? Because there's so many apps going through the App Store. It went from 100 a day to almost 4,000 on Friday alone.
Wow.
So it's just like an instant purge.
Jesus.
But the resultant of all of this, and if I can find the article, I will tell you what it is. The part that I thought was very interesting was that, where is it? It's this one, I think, where they said that, it's lost it. Anyway, but I remember what it said. Basically, what they were saying, though, was that the more than, 140,000 apps or whatever it is that are on the App Store is one of the major promotion points for the iPad, which is coming out soon. Now, the fact that they're going to be pushing the iPad as a quote-unquote family device and a quote-unquote education device means that they may be purging out all of this naughty content to basically usher in the iPad. Here it is. It says, App Store, which offers more than 140,000 programs, will be an important part of the marketing for the iPad, which Apple intends to promote as a device for families and schools. So I think it's just really is a case of they want to get the iPad launched. And I'm going to put a prediction down. My prediction is 6 months after the iPad comes out, they'll all be back.
We'll see.
Once the rush or hurrah of iPad has passed, then I think what we're going to see is we're going to see the because let's face it, eye boobs or wobble eye boobs makes a lot of goddamn money, you know. They're gonna want that 30% from those sales. Absolutely. And speaking of software, Josh, Photoshop. Happy birthday, Photoshop. Bah. Photoshop turned 20.
Bah. Photoshop turned 20. Still costs too much.
It does cost too much, but it's very interesting. Sorry, it's very interesting. It says Photoshop got it starting. This is where did I find this article? I think this was Yahoo, I believe. Basically, it says that Photoshop got its start in 1987 when Thomas Knoll wrote software that could display grayscale images, those with a range of gray tones on monitors that could show only black and white pixels. He and his brother John Knoll, and if that name sounds familiar to you, you may have seen him in the special features discs for things like Star Wars, because he works at Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
John Knoll licensed the software to Barney Scan in 1988, then to Adobe in 1989. Adobe Photoshop 1 arrived in 1990, a Mac-only product initially, and in 1995, Adobe acquired the Photoshop software outright, and the rest goes down as history. Now, interestingly enough, if you actually go and look at some history on this, you'll actually find that one of the reasons why Photoshop was kind of created in the first place was that John Knoll needed something to be able to create rough mats and stuff for Industrial Light and Magic. So they needed to be able to do some quick compositing and so forth. Photoshop has been around a long time, and the most important part of all of this, of course, is that it has now entered our vocabulary as a verb or something, where we say photoshopping. Or Photoshop. So that's a great Photoshop image. Photoshopped, you know, and so forth. As I said, in this article, it says, not often the technology product, even a successful one, enters the language as a verb. Some of us Google, but nobody iPhones, Excels, or HDMIs. So yes, happy birthday. The little tag to all...
Now, here's a Wii game that requires
Natalie, you've already been played.
Walk It Out is a game where you do...
Shh, Natalie, you've already been played. Go back to sleep.
Trying to freaking hog me.
the little addendum to that story, though, which I really wanted you to know about, Josh, which I thought would be fascinating, was apparently Photoshop co-creator Russell Brown was asked to recreate Photoshop 1 for the iPhone. It was not actually made public. It was only distributed... for Photoshop's 20th anniversary. It was at an event. It was given to 50 attendees. Wouldn't you love to see that?
What a grayscale thing. I'd play with it for 2 seconds and then it could never get used again.
It's for the charm of it, man. Come on. That would be just fantastic. All right. So, happy birthday, Photoshop. I love you, although I do think Adobe overprices for it. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
All right, last on our news list, and then we're going to get into this topic that we're going to get into. all right, what would you say if I said to you that some people take this whole Apple thing just a little bit far?
I would say you're speaking about half our population.
Josh and Ting Lee,
crap out of me for a minute there. I'm like, dude, I'm not that bad.
Met at an Apple store, and they could think of no better place when they decided to get married.
Christ.
In the Apple store. They actually got married in the New York flagship store. The officiant wore a black turtleneck and jeans. And the rings were brought out attached to first generation iPods. And if you don't believe me, I have some video of the event. Have a look at this. Apparently the beginning of the video, though, was cut off because they actually quote Steve Jobs. And I think they were asked to take that out. Apparently they got married in the aisle between the MacBooks, I believe.
Like, is that the way you really want to remember?
Well, I guess they're kind of happy with it. It says here, to quote Josh, not you, this
not
Josh.
Me, not me.
I used to joke that the Apple Store is my church because I am not religious and I loved everything Apple. Ting then came up with the idea of having the wedding there.
I think you guys need to get out more.
Apparently, in their wedding vows, they actually said, I do.
Ah. That's so lame.
Is that just wrong in every sense of the word?
Yes.
Oh, I just love it. All right. There are some serious
Whack jobs.
I like the fact that on the video, which you can find at YouTube, by the way, if you go look for Apple Store Wedding, you'll find it on YouTube. On the video, the bride never shows her face.
She probably came up with the idea as a joke and the guy just decided to take it too far. But anyway, I'm just making, assumptions here. Nothing more.
Well, you know, that's all we've got to work with. Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Sidog is saying we're dropping heaps on his feet.
No, that was about half an hour ago.
Oh, all right, sorry. Sidog says, all I can see in the chat room is big words in capital letters just says boobs. That didn't get censored. All right, we're going to get into our major topic of the week. Now, as I say, we were going to talk about sexy new phones, but I decided, because in following everything that was going on this week, I thought this is something we have to talk about.
Oh, yeah, it's quite special.
There's been two privacy issues. We'll start with the first one. In estates, now I'm going to quote from a Daily Telegraph article on this, but it's also been reported on news.com. It's also been reported on Sydney Morning Herald. It was reported on CNET. It's been all over the American stuff. It's everywhere. But I've got several of the articles here, and we'll see if we can piece this together. A lower Marion School district in the suburban Philadelphia issued all of the students laptops when they matriculated into high school. Now, we're talking about 2,300 students. All right, so these laptops are given to the students. They take them home. They work their school. They do all that sort of stuff. Now, one day, a young man who I'm going to find his name for us. Where is it? His name is Mark Stratford. No, that's not Mark Stratford. That's another story. That's not him.
Come on, Dave.
Yeah, I'm trying to find. I've highlighted stuff all over the place here. Anyway, Blake Robbins is his name. High school student Blake Robbins is called into the, or allegedly called into, we got to say allegedly at this point, because everything is still up in the air on this one. Allegedly brought into the principal's office and is basically told that he's been doing naughty things.
Okay, now I'm with you up to this point. The bit where we move into now is the bit where it leaves me.
He says, "What are you talking about?" What's his principal's name? She's here as well. Assistant principal Lindy Matsko. What are you talking about, Miss Matsko? She says, "I have a photo here," or allegedly, she says, "I have a photo here." Shows him the photo, which shows him. At this point, it's kind of airy as to what he was doing. One report I heard said it looked like he was taking pills, basically saying he was doing wrong in his bedroom.
Now, you see, where you're losing me, Dave, is it's one thing to do the photo, right? I mean, the laws you've broken just there, right? Yeah. I just snapped you in a classroom doing something naughty. It's like, what the fuck are you doing on this computer looking at me? Laws broken. But then the room, that's just a whole new bunch of naughties.
It's a whole bunch of naughties. And apparently, the way this happened was all of these laptops that were issued by the school district have built into them software that allows remote access.
No, of course, they legally made the users of these computers aware of this.
No disclosure was done. That these computers could actually have their webcams and apparently microphones. By one report, another report says no, but...
Dude, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
The cams is far enough.
They can access the webcams secretly, and basically their argument to this is the software was put into them in case the laptops were stolen, they could access the webcam to see if they could catch the person who's doing the bad thing. Now, that's not actually a bad thing, and there's legitimate software that can do that. Full disclosure, though.
Full disclosure, and can we move to the further point of it cannot be activated without consent of the user?
That would be the next stage. Now, apparently, they have acknowledged, since this is all blown up, they have acknowledged that they have remotely activated the cameras 42 times in the past 14 months. Oh. Now, we're assuming that all 42 times of those are stolen laptops.
42 computers out of 3,000
2,300 in 14 months. That's a large percentage of lost laptops.
Yeah.
Okay, now it gets a bit stickier because the parents, Michael and Holly Robbins, were brought in. And when they apparently found out about all of this, they have now filed a lawsuit, a civil rights lawsuit, against the district, its board of directors, and the assistant principal herself, basically saying you have violated wiretap laws and his right to privacy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what's interesting about this is it's escalated even further because now they're talking about a class action suit because there's a whole bunch of other students who are now concerned about their privacy. Mostly, I will point out, female students.
Oh, yeah.
Who are now saying, so you have access to the webcam, and one of the students actually said that she was concerned because she regularly takes her laptop into the bathroom so she can listen to music while she's getting ready. Okay, now, the FBI apparently has also now been dragged into this because there are now allegations, and once again, this is all allegation because there is no proof of this at this point, but the FBI needs to investigate, that there could be pedophile charges brought up on this.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there are pictures of semi-naked, half-naked, or dressing high school students, this is a big no-no. Now, if you think, and I've got this as just a side addendum, that teachers are above all that sort of behavior, I will point out that here in Australia, a former drama teacher, this was actually reported November 27th, 2009, this is not related to that case, but just as a side note as to what teachers could get up to, a former drama teacher at Melbourne Girls School was accused and has since been charged of installing spy cameras in the girls' change rooms and so forth, and was to capture students undressing and making child pornography. Mark Stratford, 49, was employed as director of drama at Lauritsen's Girls' School. He pleaded guilty at the Melbourne Magistrates Court of possessing child pornography and installing an optical surveillance device. Police alleged that Mr. Stratford told students he wanted them to audition for a play and then asked them to change into revealing costumes. He is accused of setting up hidden camera to record the girls changing and using a camcorder to record them posing in costume. Well, he had to go to all the great lengths of setting up cameras. We have a perfect situation where they don't need to set anything up. They've got access to, what is it, 2,300 cameras right across the entire Philadelphian suburbs. Now, according to the principal, assistant principal, I should say, it says that only two employees in the technology department, not administrators, were authorized to activate cameras, which captured still images only, but not sound. But in another report I heard, it said they also could activate microphones. Apparently, there's a lot of students in that school district now who are actually putting little bits of tape over the webcams.
Do you blame them?
I don't blame them at all. What are your thoughts on this, Josh?
I think this is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard. Like, I mean, it's bad enough that this sort of stuff is active. Like, I mean, this is, even with the little knowledge I have on this subject, like, I mean, if you watch any crime show on TV, right, and just take one inkling of what that involves, right, to be allowed access to someone's phone line, to someone's thing, it requires court orders,
yes,
police work, proof of, you know, the required things. It doesn't matter, Dave, that these may have been set up with disclosure. Without signed agreements, without, records, without a police report saying, hey, look, this has been stolen. And this is even if people signed forms. This is saying, even if all that has gone through, you need a police report saying the thing has been stolen before you can even think about something like that. I mean, the idea of the principal of a school, even just him having access...
Assistant principal.
It doesn't matter. Even one person having access to this, that's one person with access to 3,000 illegal records.
Now, what I'm hoping is that there is some kind of log set up that will actually show every time these cameras are activated so that we can at least... CIDOG has actually said all Macs do that. Actually, they don't. There is software that you can do that with. You actually have to set up software to actually access. I can actually do a back to my Mac where I can actually activate the webcam, but you'll see it on screen. You'll see the programs pop up.
Yeah.
This is actually covertly activating the camera remotely. So, and that's something that Macs don't do natively. But there, I was looking at it today. There's actually, they literally cost about $40 online, the software, to do this. I find the entire thing kind of sickening because, all right, I can understand why the school thinks that that would be a good idea, but I just find that the entire concept that the feeling that the privacy is so, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's the idea that teenagers aren't full-fledged human beings is what I'm trying to look at here.
Yeah.
Because you would never consider, you would never consider doing this to adults.
Yeah.
Because they're teenagers, you can get away with anything.
Yeah.
And it's wrong. It is wrong in every sense of the word. I just find the entire thing incredibly disturbing. Also because teachers are set up in such a position of trust to look at. Schools are set up in such a position of trust to look after our most precious thing, which is our children.
Well, I haven't been this disgusted in an idea since the parents that were sticking chips inside kids' skin so that they always know where they are. It's like the very idea of invading someone's privacy this badly, whatever the reason, is just it's horrifying. And this is the complete abuse of what we've been fighting for years. We don't even like, as people, as a whole community, as a worldwide thing, we don't even like the idea of our governments having access to these.
Mm.
And the idea that the schools just circumvented this, I hope that they get rorted to the full extent of the law.
I think Leo Laporte actually said on This Week in Technology, which came out on Monday, I think he actually said he hopes they get sued out of existence.
Mm.
It was his exact quote. And all I can think is, yeah, because he was saying his daughter, who is 16 or 17 years old, just got her school laptop.
Yeah.
He goes, what's he supposed to do as a parent now?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to go through that laptop line by line of code and see if he can actually find if there's any additional software in there? Is he supposed to just hand it back and say, I don't want it? I'll supply my own laptop to my child? Are they supposed to tape over the camera? What are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know?
And, dude, who's to say that it ends there? When you know that this sort of stuff is a possibility, tape over the webcam. Who says they're not filing your keystrokes?
Absolutely. Yeah.
There is no... This is something that... is one of those eye-opening moments that happens. It's like technology has been in these situations before, but this is the first time it's come out so blatantly.
Yeah.
And you know what? The person who's done this, cannot be 100% blamed for it. I mean, the fact that they've used it and found this out is bad enough. It strikes me as immediately strange that people have abused the system and then come out so straightly and given somebody this information and gone,
by the way,
we've been looking at you online. And it's just like, how can you honestly not see what was coming when you did that?
We have a quote here from Lower Merion School District on the website. It actually says, we believe that the administrator at Harrington has been unfairly portrayed and unjustly attacked in connection with her attempts to be supportive of a student and his family. The district never did and never would use such tactics, as a basis for disciplinary action. So, going by that,
admitting their fault right there.
What they're saying there is that the boy lied. And that there is no photo.
No. If you would, Dave.
Where is it? The bottom. It's highlighted.
Okay, now it says we believe that the administration of thing has been unfairly portrayed. Yep, I understand that. And unjustly attacked in connection with her attempts to be supportive of a student and his family. Now, that says to me
that she did call him in.
That she's called him in, right? Now she's called him in. And they're in no way in this thing denying that they accessed
that's
the file.
That's a better reading. I didn't read it that way.
Exactly.
If you read this carefully,
it says the district never used such a tactic as a base of disciplinary action. So yes, fine. You pulled the student in to say you're taking drugs and that's bad. It doesn't change the fact that you went into his photo.
And you still took the goddamn photograph.
Exactly. Honestly, that reeks to me of the fact that they've been speaking to their lawyers and their lawyers basically said, you're fucked. don't deny anything at this stage.
I'd like to also point out here that this is quote unquote the article from news.com.au. She reprimanded a student, Lindy Matsko, reprimanded a student for, quote unquote, inappropriate behavior in his home.
Yeah. Like,
it is not her jurisdiction.
No, dude, forget that. That immediately, right? Okay, so that there, what they've said, completely makes them guilty of everything we're talking about. Because the fact that they had access... Dude, it doesn't even matter. Like, let's subject the camera thing and say, fine, that may be a lie. How did they know? Okay? So, someone's gone to the house, someone's done whatever, right? But they accessed something that was at his house, right?
That's right.
Okay, so they are... in a lot of stuff, and there is no sideways around this. And yes, I do understand what Sidog is saying in the chat room, where he says it's, you know, hard to prosecute without proof of the cameras being used. Yes, but they have admitted enough guilt for the FBI to be all over
that. And the FBI is now involved, and you know, if the FBI is involved, they're going to start combing hard drives with a little fine tooth comb until they find anything that they want. The point here, I think, is the fact. One of the issues of this entire case has kind of gotten under my skin is the fact that it is also not the school's responsibility once the student is home.
Yeah.
Once the student is at home, it's the parent's responsibility.
Yeah.
Nothing that happens in the home, we're not talking about child abuse and stuff. I'm talking about disciplinary action or things that have happened in the house are not the school's problem. It is only the school's problem between the time that the student goes to school and the time the student goes home from school.
Yeah.
Once they're out of school, it's the parents' issue.
Yeah.
And once again, this is like that whole nanny state issue we're having here with the government trying to tell us what to do in our own homes.
Yeah.
This is our house.
Yeah.
Once it's in our house, it's our castle. Once it's in our house, it's not your problem anymore. If the boy is shooting heroin in his bedroom, it's got nothing to do with the school.
Mm. You know? Exactly.
So it's really, I think that's what's gotten under my skin the most, other than the fact that it's an incredible breach of privacy in every sense of the word. But at the same time, I also look and go, what business is it of theirs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that in essence is kind of what I was saying with the statement. It's like, no matter what level of, you know, things that have actually come through, whether it be the fact that this is all completely blown over and the, you know, the teacher was going past this house and saw it or whatever, the point of the matter is that what's happened here is that they've gone past their legal allowances as parent, you know, as staff members, and, you know, done something like this. And it's just, it amazes me that that this entire thing is just so incredibly invasive, no matter which way you look at it. Like, it doesn't matter if it's the computers or whatever. They brought him in to talk to him about something that was happening at his house.
That's right.
And that, to me, is one of the most disgusting things about this conversation.
Well, let's continue on with privacy.
Oh, there's more.
There's more. On the other side of the spectrum, Google got in trouble again this week because Google, and you know what, it's funny, it's one of those situations where you go, you know what, you kind of can't blame them. Yes, you can, but hear me out on this. When you think, there are a bunch of little engineers, you know, they've obviously got their pocket protectors and their glasses and, you know, and they, yeah, it's a really good idea, right? And they develop this stuff in-house. They don't do public beta testing. They've just developed it completely in-house. And, you know, when they only have like three or four friends, you know, it doesn't obviously affect them. But Google Buzz came out this week. And if you don't know what Google Buzz is, now I actually have not played with it yet because I'm terrified of it, but I have been reading up on it. Basically, it's like a social network. It's like Google's answer to Twitter. And it basically, it's social networking through your email, though. So it's all kind of odd. Google's gone berserk with this social network, and we've got Google Wave coming out as well, which is another, we'll cover that, I'm sure, in a later story. That's in testing at the moment by invite. Anyway, so Google Buzz comes out, and that's not such a new thing. Google releases new products all the time, right? But suddenly people started to realize that people, you know, the pop-up would happen when you go into your Google Gmail account, and it would say, do you want to participate in Google Buzz, the new social networking phenomenon? Cool. You say, okay. And it says, you know, this is what's going to happen. You say, okay. You say, okay. And then you're in Buzz. And, you know, people who really like to be out there social networking and don't care about anything go, wow, this is really cool. Everything you do is being socially networked. However, some people started to actually realize that everything they do is online now. All of their email contacts, everything in Gmail has suddenly gone public. And this is, I mean, Facebook has been having its own issues with privacy of late. This just kind of gazumps it completely. Anyway, it's actually blew up because lawyers filed the case on behalf of all Gmail users whose accounts were automatically linked to Buzz, a service that allows users to post updates and photos in a similar manner to Facebook. The class action lawsuit has been filed on behalf of Florida resident Eva Hibnick by law firms in San Francisco and Washington. The court filing noted that there were 31.2 million Gmail users in January, and that Google added the Buzz program to most or all of these accounts. And it was not opt-in.
Mm.
It was on by default.
Yeah.
And so basically all that information just went boom out into the world.
Good, because like, just imagine, like, I mean, I've got a couple of people on my list that, you know, are professional people that, you know, like, you've taken a long time to get to know, and you get contacts due to, you know, being close to these people. And the idea of me clicking on this link and everyone that's in any way connected to me via Google, now, you know, even that guy that once dropped me the email that I didn't quite delete or something like this, now have access to this guy's, you know, personal work address, and he can now spam all his, you know, invites and wanting to be an actor on such and such a thing.
And
whatever.
Doesn't even really have to try.
It's right there.
It's just
available.
Okay. As the week has progressed, Google did tweak the privacy complaints. Okay. The lawsuit still stands. It still happened. All that sort of stuff. But Google, in, you know, bless their hearts, you know, their motto should go from we do no evil to we do no stupidity, really, is what it should come down to. Because they did tweak it, and they decided to make it opt-in. And you know, they said to everybody, you can change your settings and all that sort of stuff. And all that was great, and they did try and clean stuff up. However, we later discovered that there's now an option which says you can disable Buzz.
Yeah.
Great. So a lot of people went to disable Buzz. And if you disable Buzz, it actually deleted your entire Google profile.
What? Like totally?
Totally.
Like,
go on. Bye-bye.
Like your Gmail account, your...
Well, your profile. I don't know if it actually takes out your... I don't know if it actually takes out your email account. But Google has been setting up this profile system for a good couple of years now. Basically, it's like an online business card. And
yeah.
You can basically say, and they made a big push last year where they were encouraging everybody to set up their profiles because it actually feeds into the Google searches. Mm. So if you do people searches, you can actually find their profiles. They're now saying basically, if you don't want Buzz, you can't have the profile. So,
wow.
And I don't know if it's on purpose, because once again, it's bless those little engineers' hearts with their little pocket protectors, and you sit there and go, what's the problem? I don't really know what the problem is. But it's just really odd. But it has gone on to the point now where the privacy watchdog, Electronic Privacy Information Center, or EPIC, love that name.
That's awesome.
Has filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. This is in Australia, by the way. Has filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission just days after Google altered the service to address the mounting privacy concerns. It says, despite the changes, EPIC said privacy violations remain. This is quoting from Sydney Morning Herald. It says, despite the change, EPIC has said privacy violations remain because Google automatically signs up Gmail users for Buzz rather than waiting for them to do so themselves or opt in for the service. So even though it's opt in on what you're sharing, it's still not opt in for Buzz.
Wow.
And if you try and disable Buzz, it takes out your profile. So they're not happy. According to EPIC, Executive Director Mark Rottenberg, he says, this is a significant breach of consumers' expectations of privacy.
Mm.
And I agree. I agree 100%. I think anything like this, any sort of social network, whether it be Facebook, whether it be Twitter, all of these things, you have to set your privacy levels. And I think by default, it should always be maximum privacy.
Mm.
Open it up all you want,
yeah.
But let the user make that choice.
Mm.
I think that's the bottom line. And I think, you know, when you're talking about privacy this week, it's just insane. We got, 2 weeks ago, we had Facebook come out with their new privacy policy. And they basically said, here's the new privacy, here's the new Facebook privacy policy, click OK to continue, click OK. What they didn't tell everybody was all the privacy settings had been defaulted to something different to what you had already been seeing, and what they did was essentially made all profiles public.
Nice.
Once again, after much complaining, settings were changed, defaults were changed, and so forth. But it's this imbecilic behavior, and I think it all comes down to the fact that because we're being, all of these social networking groups are being run by people like Mark Zuckerberg and stuff, who literally sit there and go, what's the problem? You know, we want to be social. We want to be out there. And they don't understand that not everybody wants to be that way. I think it was summed up best for me 2 weeks ago when, was his name Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google? When Eric Schmidt actually said, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, if you haven't got anything to hide, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
That's not the issue. that's like telling these students, well, if you haven't got anything to hide, what's the problem with having cameras on those computers?
Yeah, what's the problem? You just, you know, you got to shut the lid when you're doing something that you don't want people to know. It's like
no, it doesn't quite work that way. It doesn't quite work that way. All right, well, that's our opinion for this week. I think if you have any suggestions or you have any comments or anything to do with these,
or even if you have any follow-up news, I would love to keep updated on the situation with the school.
And actually, yeah, the school, and also anybody out there who has signed up for Buzz, tell us what your opinions are on
For sure. It's important.
And the school, I'm going to be following the school thing very closely because this isn't going away any time soon. I think we're going to see reports coming out from the FBI in the next week or so, because the public statements will start coming out soon. The fact that it's an entire school district makes it a very public event. It's not one school, one rogue school. All the laptops that were issued in Philadelphia in that school district, 2,300 schools, are now in question. That's a big enough issue to keep this in the news for some time. If you have heard anything, as Josh says, if you've heard anything about any of this, let us know. The email for us, once again, is geektech@geekactually.com. And our voicemail line is Sydney number 02-8011-3167. All we ask about the voicemail is that we have three shows. So make sure you specify at the beginning of the voicemail which show it's for. Just say Geek Tech, Geek Actually, or Platforms. And then make sure your message is kept down to about a minute, if possible. And we will play any relevant voicemails on air. And we will also read out your emails as you send those in. I would love to hear what your thoughts are on any of the stories, particularly, though, about the Google Buzz issue and about the school issue. Do you think the school was justified? Are you one of those parents who sits there and says, look, there are contingent of parents, and I don't want to offend anybody, but there are contingent of parents out there who don't want to be bothered with any of this, and they would like the school to be the nanny, you know? I say you shouldn't have had kids, but they are out there, you know, and they're probably sitting there going, what's the problem? These are the same sort of people who sit there and blame the console when the kid gets calluses on his palms for playing too much, rather than saying, why wasn't I there to stop the kid from playing? Boy, I'm on my high horse now. All right. Okay, let's do a little bit of housekeeping here, Josh. Okay. Starting from the top, we do have a Facebook fan page, which we do feed. Oh, hold on. We got some comments in the chat room. that's the kind of parent that doesn't let their kid outside in case they skin their knee. Yeah, I know those kind of parents too. Anyway, thank you, Sidog. All right. So we do have a fan page, facebook.com/geekactually, that we feed almost everything that comes through the geekactually.com, we feed onto that Facebook page. So in case you're one of those sort of people who doesn't ever like to leave Facebook, that is a way of keeping up with what we do. There's also a fan page for our, isolated from Geek Actually, there's a secondary fan page, which is for just the Platforms podcast, if you are a gamer, which is at Platforms Live. And yes, Dave explained it in the last platform, so we won't go into it, but that's PlatformsLive, Facebook.com/. All right. If you want to buy snazzy Geek Actually merchandise and help support our network, we have T-shirts, mugs, mouse mats, stickers, all sorts of things.
Mouse mats?
Yeah, mouse mats. Geek Actually mouse mat, not actually a Platforms one yet. I have to design the graphic didn't fit. But anyway, you can go to cafepress.com.au. I'm bringing it up on screen for our viewers and for those who watch the playback of this. Where is it?
Zoom.
There it is. All right, so there it is there. cafepress.com.au/geek, actually. And every purchase you make, some of that comes to us, which will actually help support this network. Okay, we really are putting out a plea to everybody who is listening to any of the Geek Actually shows. We really need your help taking a survey. There is a survey on the Support Us page on geekactually.com. First line of how to support us is please take a quick survey. That survey will help match us up with possible advertisers. So if you could take that survey, we're trying to hit a magic number, which only PodTrack knows what that number is. If you can just keep taking that survey until we finally hit that magic number, that would be wonderful. We also do like to throw out a few hellos and thank yous to our friends out there in the world. First of all, Real Junkies Podcast, which is a very fun movie podcast where they review films fueled by tequila. I do recommend them highly. And then the other show, which we recommend highly, is, of course, the movie Fan House with our friends Brad and Charlie. Now, Dave Kaziki and I actually guest starred on last week's show, so you can go and have a listen to that. You can find them at moviefanhouse.com or search for them on iTunes. And if you look for the episode where they reviewed The Wolfman, that was our crossover episode, and it's a lot of fun. I still wish you'd been there, Josh. Anyway, also remember that you can watch this show live 8 p.m. normally. Today was a little bit late, but 8 p.m. normally on Wednesdays, which is UTC plus 11. It's Australia in Eastern Time. And we can also watch platforms, our gaming podcast, Monday at 8 p.m. Or you can watch our movie show, which is kind of like the thing that started this whole thing off, which is on Saturday at 12 p.m. This week we're actually doing From Paris with Love, so that could be a lot of fun too. What's your game on platforms coming up?
This week coming. This week is
Final Fantasy, isn't it?
No, it's AVP.
AVP, that should be good fun to listen to as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, one last thing. If you do miss the live show and you do want to watch this on video and see what the hell is going on in here, we put up every recorded show. Now, we only started recording from about episode 49 of Geek Actually, but all of the recorded shows that we have are fed onto geekactually.com. All you have to do is, in the geekactually.com search bar, just type replay, and you will find all of the past shows, platforms, Geek Actually Tech or Geek Actually, and you can watch them at your leisure. And we actually keep track of those stats as well, so it's always good to know. All right, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we're done.
And then Seedog is actually telling you that in your following week you're doing Heavy Rain, yes?
Oh, yes.
So when is Final Fantasy?
Final Fantasy, I believe, is the week after that.
The week after, all right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually looking forward to the Final Fantasy
We've got a couple of interesting shows because we will have Job from Game Arena on the Heavy Rain show, which is going to be very interesting. Very, very interesting. I'm just going to move over so that thing's not covering my face. But that's going to be an awesome show. Next week's AVP review is going to be very interesting just due to a sort of backlash from us against the general public that are giving it quite low scores on some parts and high scores on the other, and I think we've just lost what it is that makes a game good. So, yes, there will be an interesting show.
Interesting. Mm. All right. Well, I actually look forward to it. I'm actually there while you're doing the show, of course. And I'm actually very interested in a couple of the reviews because I'm looking for a new game at the moment. All right. We're going to get ourselves out of here. Josh, how can people find more about you on the internet?
Best place to go is, of course, the platforms live, which is facebook.com/that, which is awesome. If you guys can head over there and sign up, we love more people in that, and we're always updating that. And, of course, I am facebook.com/geekjosh. Feel free to add me as well.
Fantastic. And we're all Facebook whores here, so we will basically take just about anybody on as a friend.
Yeah, I'm pretty easy.
You can follow me at twitter.com/David McVeigh or facebook.com/David McVeigh, or of course, as we said before, there's a fan page for Geek Actually, or of course, just geekactually.com. I'm there every single day doing something. So you can send email to geektech@geekactually.com, and we're going to get ourselves out of here. We just want you to remember that we're the geeks so that you don't have to be.
Word.